Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 27. Iccha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargayanti prantabha. Iccha, desire, dvesha, and hate, samutena, arisen from, dvanva, of duality, mohena, by the illusion, bharata, O sign of bharat, sarva, all, bhutani, living entities, samoham, into delusion, sarge, while taking birth, yanti, go, parantapa, a conqueror of enemies. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O son of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitution of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy, cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Shri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, women and men, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iccha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. O son of Bharata, all conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explain this in different ways. He said, Dayato Vishyam Pumsam Sangas Teshu Bhajayate Sangas Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodo Bhajayate Krodad Bhavati Samoha Samaha Smriti Vipram Sat Smriti Brahm Sat Buddhinashat Pranashati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person becomes attached to them. So this is our first fall down, is that when we're not in Krishna consciousness, then naturally we're going to look for something to make us happy. So we look around, see what will actually gratify my senses, and therefore people go shopping, window shopping, or they go on the internet nowadays and shop around, see if there's something that catches their eye, they say. Catches their eye, and they fall in love with it. They fall in lust with it. And then they feel they have to get it. So there's Dhyayato Vishyam Pumsam Sangha Sanjayate Kama. Falling in love with it means falling in lust with it. Kama. And then if it makes them happy, then they want more of it. They want something bigger, better, newer. they're hankering. When will the new Android or iPhone or computer or car or video or camera or whatever? When is this going to come out? Greed. Gratify my senses even more. And when the senses aren't gratified, then there's krodha. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangas sanjayate kama krodha bhavati samoha. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangas sanjayate kama krodha bhujayate. So from lust automatically comes greed, and anger, frustration will follow. Because whatever we're hankering for, even if we don't get it, we become automatically angry. And if we get it, we're sure to lose it, and then that will frustrate us even more. Therefore, someone who spends their whole life trying to make a perfect arrangement for the material happiness, they're even more frustrated when they lose it all. Now, if you're living on the street, you have nothing. There's nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose, you'll probably be more peaceful. But if you have millions and billions of dollars and you're about to lose it all, no one has to come and steal it. Time will come and take it all away. Mrityu sarvaharashtraham. That's even more frustrating. And what's the result of this lust, greed, and anger? Here it says, samoha, delusion. This is the reason why we're walking around in illusion, because we're attached to lust, anger, and greed, to enjoying the material world, accumulating things in the material world, and being angry when things don't go the way we think they should go, frustrated. This creates the illusion. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is wondering that actually everyone is supposed to do something in the material world, and there are prescribed duties, because people don't know about these things nowadays. They think they're just free to do whatever they want, because we're not living in human society, we're living in an animal society, less than animal society. Therefore, the people have no conception of duty. They only think what they deserve. They don't think they're obliged to do anything to get anything. They're just thinking everything, they deserve something. They have no idea how the material world works, how they're getting the results of their karma. And if they simply try to enjoy without fulfilling any obligation, then they're simply accumulating more and more sinful reactions, neglecting their duty, and at the same time accepting things that they actually don't deserve. Therefore, Arjuna, Krishna says, you should find out what your duty is and then do it. Don't try and do someone else's duty. So then Arjuna asks, well, why do people sometimes don't do their duty? Or they try and do someone else's duty? Is that all right? So Krishna says, no, it's actually out of lust that people do it. They're always thinking the grass is greener on the other side. They're always thinking what they're doing is better than what I'm doing. And therefore, they always want to do something different from what they're already doing. And this is due to lust. And then when they don't get the results they were looking for, or if they get the result they weren't expecting, or they get the results and they lose it, then they become angry, krodha. And the result is, dumena vriyate vanir, itaradar shomalenata, itobinavrita garvas, tata te naimam avrita. Just like the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the fire is covered by smoke, so all the entities are covered by different degrees of this lust. People don't even question who they are, because most people are just like animals. Therefore, they don't even think that maybe I'm something other than this body. And therefore, being covered by the illusory energy, all they're doing is avritam gyana etena gyana no nityavarena kamarupena kuntiya dusprana analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So their whole idea is just gratify my senses. Although my senses are never satisfied, and I'm not only that, I'm always in anxiety to gratify them, but people are so used to being in misery and anxiety, they accept it as 100% normal. They'll suffer, they'll run out into the desert looking for the oasis, and if they can find one drop of water in the desert, they think it's worth the effort. So this is called madness, and Bhagavad Gita is meant to try to help us overcome our present state of craziness, madness. Oh, at least intoxication. Queen Kundi says, Dainamayishwarya shute shivira edamanak madakpuman naivahatya vadatumva tvam akinchana gochara. That anyone who's hankering for more material happiness, more material education, mundane education, more wealth, more positions in society, then we're already intoxicated by identification with this body and hankering and getting involved in an effort to increase what's making us intoxicated simply will make us crazy, mad, madak. And the result, we'll have to take one body after another. Nunam pramatak. Kurute vikarma yet indriya pritya aprinoti nisadamanya yet atmanoyam asana vikleshida ashadeha. We're already suffering due to ignorance, the threefold miseries, the kleshas due to other people, due to the weather, due to our own bodies, birth, death, old age, and disease. There's so much suffering going on. And yet we're thinking, how can I enjoy in the midst of the suffering? It's like you're watching television, your favorite television program comes on, the house is burning down, but you just can't leave the television because it's your favorite program. And all your body is caught on fire. You just hope you don't burn, that you can, the fire, you know, you don't leave your body before the end of the program. Mm-hmm. So people become so dull, so convinced of their illusion, that they're not even interested in anything else other than that. And therefore they think, as we can see in modern society, these dualities, which is born out of lust, anger, and greed, they've simply turned it around as that's reality. They call lust, they call that love. Anger, they call it protection, whatever they want to say. They go, now we become frustrated and angry, and we're taking it out, and this is our right. They don't think that this is a problem, that I'm angry, frustrated. They think it's my right to be angry, and I should cause others to suffer, because they're in the mode of ignorance. And the result of such activity is that they surely fall into the lowest species of life, trying to gratify their anger. They're in delusion, not realizing that whatever happens to them as a result of their own past activities, all arranged by the Supreme. But instead, they want to take revenge or they want to get compensation for something that they're actually responsible for. Nor do they understand their killing of animals, thinking that this is an animal, this is myself, God has given me domain over the world. He's giving me domain over the animals, and therefore I can also eat them. Or God is giving me domain over my wife, maybe I can eat her too. People only think control means to exploit. So they're in the mode of ignorance. They don't understand control means to serve. Therefore they exploit everything that they get, even their own family members they exploit, because they're in the ignorance. And they realize they've gone through a greater reaction for all their activities. They may imagine that they're free to do anything that they want, but they don't understand that this is, they're under the stringent rules of material nature, and they'll simply be put into more and more delusion. And what is the result of a delusion? Whatever humanity they had, whatever remembrance they had of reality, will be taken away. And whatever good intelligence they had to control whatever senses they had, that will also be taken away. So they'll have less and less ability to control their senses. They'll eat anything. They'll sleep anytime. They'll become less and less regulated. Their only regulation will be whatever their senses and mind dictate to them, which will bring them deeper and deeper into ignorance, to the point that at the end of Kali Yuga, people are simply eating each other. And they think, well, this is normal. Even nowadays, people think, well, we're making progress. They don't realize they're making progress towards hell. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to give people some vision that we're not this body. We're actually eternal souls. We're supposed to be blissful. We have a relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishenindriyastaran Atma Vaishara Vidaya Ma Prasadama Nagachati. That by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna, every man can become free from all this attachment and aversion. One can become free from illusion, all attachment and delusion, and obtain the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. The very least is that one will realize that one is eternal, and therefore one will be free from all anxiety over this gain and safety, whatever else. Otherwise, now we're human beings, everyone's afraid of death, and certainly we have to meet death at some time, and if we have no knowledge, we'll simply be in a fearful state, and if we're particularly sinful, the Yamadutas will take us away, and we'll have to suffer and be put into a lower species of life. But a person free from all attachment or aversion, able to control his senses, the regular principles of freedom, can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So this value of realizing our eternality, realizing the Supreme Person, realizing a relationship with the material nature, with all living entities, this is called spiritual knowledge. And this is what human beings have the opportunity to obtain. And if they don't obtain that, if they simply dwell in these dualities and fight with each other, trying to acquire more and more material resources for one's own sense gratification, or even extended sense gratification, then there won't be a human society. It'll simply keep on degrading as it is presently. And there is no limit to it. Right now, for instance, in America, half the people have lost their jobs, and they're not going to get them back. So we think everything's going to be peaceful. No, they already don't know what to do. But when they start getting hungry, when they have 50% more homeless people in America you have now, you're going to have riots. People are going to kill each other in the street. And then in order to relieve the situation, as always, like in every depression, they'll start a war to distract people. So we think the present society, they're doing all right, everything will be all right. We're wrong. And if we think we'll be all right, we're also wrong, because we happen to be living in Kali Yuga. And then unless we take shelter of Krishna, then we'll be controlled by our mind and senses too. And if we're controlled by our mind and senses, we'll also have to suffer in the midst of all the problems that are going to be manifested. On the other hand, unless we educate people, then they won't know what direction to take when they're in difficulty. Problems are not really so deep. The people even understood that they should go out and start a farm, put seeds in the ground, then they wouldn't have to worry about these economic problems. But as long as they're working as slave for slave wages, then they lose their job and they have nothing to do. Well, what they should do is go out in the field and cultivate some land. Then they'll have something to eat and the problem will be solved. But they're so addicted to their internet and their electronic gadgets, they won't know what to do. But some people will be intelligent enough to understand there has to be an alternative to the present modern society, which is meant simply to cultivate lust, anger, and greed as an objective of life. That is something to be feared or to be given up or controlled. No, it's the very principle of modern society, cultivating these things. And the people they gave all their money to, that they worked so hard and they supported, who became billionaires, they're spending the time thinking about how to get rid of these people. So people become so full, they're thinking that they're getting off free, but actually they're simply accumulated sinful reactions, and their leaders will provide them those sinful reactions for them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
What is opposition? What should we do when sometimes the devotee, let's say, do all these services and chanting rounds, and then Krishna provides him some peace and like a comfort zone?
What's the definition of this comfort zone in Krishna consciousness, or, you know, which Krishna provides, like, you know, like shanti and everything which comes with it?
Well, if you want to merge in Brahman, this is not the place to do it. In other words, the leaders have to always be put the devotees in a position of being challenged so they can rely upon Krishna more. Otherwise, at the end of life, you know, when we're nice and peaceful, we might start wondering about, what did I do with my life? Where am I going next? We won't be so peaceful at the time of leaving this body unless we're prepared. So human life is a preparation for the end of life, not a preparation to live peacefully in this material world. There is no peace in the material world. Neither Brahma nor the lowest insect are free from karma. So we have to be challenged. So we rely upon Krishna. We make advancement in becoming actually conscious of Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Then we'll actually become not only peaceful, we'll become actually happy. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you quote that shloka in the beginning, Dhyayatu Visham Punsam, by contemplating on on the sense objects, then develops lust and all other sequence. Does this also, is this valid only for the sense objects, or also, how to say, expectations?
Well, mentally is the same thing. Sense objects mentally are also material. It's just a subtler way. There's a whole subtle realm and there's a gross realm. They're not really different.
Like a plans, expectations, and
those are all material. They're just energies and material energy. Unless Krishna is there, then it's material. Anything without Krishna is material, whether it's subtle or gross. And with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, it becomes spiritualized.
So everything what is material-based causes lust and...
Yeah, ultimately the whole purpose of material, the adventure of material existence, is to enjoy lust, anger, and greed. That's the only reason why we're here, to imitate Radha and Krishna principally, either grossly or subtly. And although we want to take credit for how wonderfully we're imitating Radha and Krishna, but the material nature is not so kind. Other fools and rascals like ourselves may appreciate us, our so-called activities, glorious. The material nature will not be so appreciative.
Thank you.
Just like you may become a big Olympic swimmer, you may get the gold medal. You're practicing day and night swimming. So you're meditating on swimming, you're not meditating on Krishna. Next lifetime you'll become a fish. Why should material nature be so unkind to you? They have you practice so hard to swim, she'll give you a body, you don't have to practice anymore. That's how material nature works. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that nowadays people in general making progress to hell. And I'm wondering if we can make any kind of U-turn if the non-devotee helps you, a devotee in any way.
They help a devotee.
To do some service to devotee or maybe for the Lord.
Well, it's good if they do some service to Krishna. And if the devotee is serving Krishna, that's very good. It's not like the end all of everything. It's not that they're going back to the spiritual world.
Yeah,
but they get some credit, and maybe in the next time that may increase. I mean, Krishna consciousness means consciousness. People should be conscious of what they're doing. We're trying to become conscious of Krishna, not just serve him officially. Mm-hmm. It's not in the spiritual world, everyone's just officially preparing food, they don't know who it's for. They're herding the cows, they don't know who it's for. They're doing it for Krishna. So we're trying to become conscious of Krishna. But the process is, if we do work and then we try to apply consciousness to it, then we'll make some advancement. But if someone does something and there's no consciousness, they get some credit. And perhaps in the future that may accumulate, so they'll get a chance to hear and then add some consciousness to what they're doing. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.